Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn number 8, The Lord is King. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Special word of welcome if you're visiting us, if you're here for the first time, you're especially welcome. And we welcome to all those who are joining us online at home. We're always delighted to welcome people from all over the place who are joining us in worship, and we hope that as you join us today, you'll feel a part of everything that happens here this morning. Hopefully, on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I wanted to pay particular attention to a few things that don't happen every week, just to draw your attention to them. On Thursday of this week, the Mothers' Union are meeting for the first meeting of the new term. That's at 7:30 on Thursday evening. And also to remind people that on Wednesday evening at 7:30, our Alpha course is continuing. It's just begun in the past couple of weeks. So if you haven't been before and you're keen maybe to explore questions about life and faith, there is a course that's running in the church hall, 7:30 in the coffee bar on Wednesday evenings. Also wanted to mention that the parish magazine is available for collection at the back of the church. If you're one of our magazine distributors, do please take away the magazines that are at the back of the church for distribution for the coming month. And also to say that next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9:00. The Connect service in the church hall is at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. You'll also have seen on the notice slides on the way in that we have some visitors to our diocese at the moment from Africa. Mama Rejoice and Bishop Moses are here, and they're speaking at a number of engagements throughout the diocese, and there were some details on the slides if you'd like to go to hear about their experience of leading the church in a part of the world where there's a lot of struggle and a lot of suffering. There is that opportunity to do so as they're here over the coming weeks. Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. You'll find all the responses on the screen, or if you prefer to follow in the prayer book, the service begins on page 101.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service proclaims God's protection and deliverance for those who trust in him. Together we read Psalm 91, verses 1 to 6 and 14 to 16. For those following in the prayer book, it can be found on page 698. Whoever dwells in the shelter, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty, shall say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust. For he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with his wings, and you shall be safe under his feathers. His faithfulness shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the sickness that destroys at noonday. Because they have set their love upon me, therefore will I deliver them. I will lift them up, because they know my name. They will call upon me, and I will answer them. I am with them in trouble. I will deliver them and bring them honor. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated for our first reading?
The first reading is from Amos chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fatted calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. Here ends the reading.
Our next song expresses our deep longing for God. We sing hymn number 606, As the Deer Pants for the Water. And at this point, the children leave for Sunday school. Would you please be seated?
The second reading is from Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteous godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, To him be honor and might forever. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Here ends the reading.
Turning to page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The collect for today, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, in generous mercy, sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love. Grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 576, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite podcasts is a show called The Midpoint. And in this show, the presenter, Gabby Logan, interviews various people. Some are famous, some are less so, about life in the midpoint, which she reckons is between 35 and 50. So I shouldn't really qualify to listen, but I'll take it anyway. But what she does is she gets people to share the wisdom that they have accumulated through their life experiences and to reflect on how they've changed and how their hopes have panned out for the future. And she gets people to kind of look backwards on that first part of their lives, to look at the point they're in now, and to look to the future. And it's a little bit like what is happening in St. Paul's letter to Timothy. St. Paul is writing to a younger church leader, and he's trying to share some of the wisdom that he has gained through his life and his experience as a church leader. And I guess one of the great themes that's common to the human quest is the search for contentment. Where do we find contentment? What sort of stuff should we be chasing after? And St. Paul has some important insights about this and some reflections on these things. But I guess the first thing that I notice in that reading that we heard from 1 Timothy is the way that he uses active and forceful words to describe the Christian life. He uses words like flee from, or pursue, or fight, or take hold of. And some people would suggest that Christianity is really quite a passive religion that advocates waiting for God to act. But Paul insists that we should have an active faith, that we should be training and we should be working hard. We should be sacrificing and doing the things that we know are right. And so when we think about this quest for contentment, contentment is not an entitlement, and fruitfulness in the Christian life, it's not a given. In order to be fruitful, we have to pursue certain things. And one of the things that is mentioned in this letter is a rather old-fashioned sounding word, where St. Paul says to Timothy, one of the things that you should be pursuing or chasing after is godliness. And what Paul seems to suggest in these verses is that the great task of life for all of us is to build up a self and a character and a heart and a soul that we can take without shame to God. And this word godliness, eusebia in the Greek, it's a word that means the reverence of the man who, right throughout his life, never ceases to be aware that all of life is lived in the presence of God. So how can we live life in this way, that we're always conscious of God's presence and we're always seeking to live in a way that pursues his character in our lives? So whether you work in a church or an accountancy firm, if your days are occupied looking after small children, elderly parents, or a spouse or a sibling who is not well, this is all a God given, God-driven task that he has called us to do, not just for others, but for him. And as we understand or process it in those terms, perhaps it helps us to see what we do a little bit differently. And the ordinary tasks that make up our everyday lives take on a sacred and a meaningful purpose, which, although it's mysterious, brings a particular or a peculiar contentment to us. So as we live for God and we're conscious of living in this way, it brings a certain contentment or inner peace to us. And when St. Paul considers different things that get in the way of contentment, one of the things that's a significant obstacle to contentment is the desire to have more. Very often in life, we tend not to appreciate what we have, but instead we compare what we have with what others have. And often we get a bit jealous, and often that desire for more or better possessions is really a longing to fill an empty place in someone's life. And while most of us believe that money brings happiness, St. Paul seeks to bring some perspective to this. And he reminds Timothy and all of us who hear his words today that if you have been blessed with wealth, that's not a bad thing. It doesn't make you a bad person. But we do also have a responsibility, he reminds us, to work hard, to seek to make provision for our families. But if we have been blessed with wealth, let's not neglect to thank the Lord for this blessing. And he reminds us not to be proud and not to trust in your money for contentment, because it can disappear much more quickly than it arrived. Markets can crash. Investments can fail. Personal circumstances, they can all change. And if we have placed all of our trust in the bank balance at our disposal, we're building our foundation on something that is very precarious or very uncertain. So Paul urges Timothy instead to lean into the way that we were wired as people, made in God's image. And so he urges us to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to be ready to share what we have with others. And that's why, as a church, the biblical principle of tithing is very important to us here in St. Finian's. We do seek to give away 10% of our income every year to mission agencies, to local and national charities that we believe are doing God's work here on earth in a whole variety of locations and situations. God has blessed us incredibly over almost 100 years of existence as a church. And so it's incumbent upon us as his people to do what we can with the resources that he has given us to bless others. And there is always something incredibly powerful and moving about how generous people are in times of global need. I remember vividly after the terrible tsunami in 2004, which killed so many people and destroyed so many people's homes and livelihoods in Asia. The way that the local community came together to bring the items that were required, clothes, shoes, blankets, items of personal hygiene. And as the church where I was working at that time was a conduit for receiving these things before transporting them to a depot, I remember vividly the way all the roads to the church were jammed with cars queuing up to donate what they could to help people who were suffering in such a terrible situation. And there's something intrinsic in the way that God has designed us, that it does feel good to give things away, to be able to get involved practically in relieving the suffering of others. And this church has done so much over so many years through our connection with Fields of Life in Uganda and South Sudan, and people give sacrificially of their time, their energy, their resources, and their talents to support that very, very important work. And so we're conscious that it is something in which we have been deeply blessed, and it's incumbent upon us to do what we can to aid or to relieve the suffering of others. So Paul reminds Timothy in this letter to pursue godliness, also to be content with what he has, and to do what he can to alleviate the sufferings of others. He reminds him of how there is much more to life than the here and now, and not to lose sight of that important relationship with God that is so central to all that is important in our human experience. I once had the privilege of journeying with someone who was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And during the last 6 months of this man's life, he became aware in a very personal and very profound way of just how much he was loved by God. And it was an awareness that struck him very forcibly at that point in his life in a way that it had never struck him before. And so he resolved to do all in his power to not only welcome that love, but to use it to shape how he approached all things. And in a memorable conversation we had together, he told me how much richer his life was through encountering Jesus, and how he wanted to use all the time he had left to make others aware of what he had discovered. And he also spoke of how, at that point in his life, he was also looking forward to meeting Jesus face to face. He had indeed discovered that godliness with contentment is great gain. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for your church today around the world. We pray for this diocese, for David, our bishop, and we pray for the communities in which we live and work. We ask you to teach us to be content and to appreciate all that you have done for us. Thank you for reaching out to us with your love and your grace. Thank you for offering us peace and hope in a world that's dominated by fear
and hostility. Thank you for all those resources that we often take for granted. A roof over our head, food on our tables, the availability of healthcare and educational opportunities. Lord, we thank you today for this, our church family. And we thank you today for all who serve and lead and help at all our organizations and activities. We pray this morning for our Sunday school and all our teachers meeting in the church hall. We pray for Ryan, our curate, meeting with our youth group in the coffee bar. And we pray that in all those activities, you would make yourself known. We ask, Lord, that you would bless all who visit and who support people going through tough times in our church family. We pray that this would be a place where people encounter you every time that we worship together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. And today, Lord, we pray particularly for the President of the United States and his administration, as every move is scrutinized by the world. We ask you to surround him with wise advisors as he seeks in different ways to tackle various issues, perhaps attempting to broker peace in troubled parts of the world, attempting to build prosperity and economic growth, attempting to monitor immigration and all the challenges that contentious issue brings upon us. We ask that you would guide him in the ways of compassion and sensitivity to the nations and to the people that he engages with. But we also want to pray particularly for all who feel anxious and fearful in these days. We pray for migrant workers, asylum seekers, for those with moderate political voices. And we ask, Lord, for your special help and intervention to build a just and peaceful world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray this morning for all who are finding their workplace a stressful place full of conflict. We ask for peace and grace to find good ways forward. We also remember all those known to us who are ill in hospital or at home. And we pray for those awaiting tests and medical procedures. We ask you to enfold them in your love and care and protection in the anxiety of waiting. And so we take a quiet moment to pray for those who are particularly on our hearts as we come to church today, and we lift them into your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
And we respond to all we have heard by singing the hymn of our offering, number 636, May the Mind of Christ My Savior.
Just before our final blessing, can we just remind people that you're very welcome after the service to some tea and coffee over in the church hall. And thank you to everybody for worshiping with us as we come together this morning. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing as we ask him to accompany us and to go before us in the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn today from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn number 10, All My Hope on God is Founded.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.